L.A. Yako here, folks. Another episode of Trade Talk is up and running. It has still been meme stock mania. Things have still been running, but obviously they've cooled down a little bit, similar to what I was talking about from a previous AMC episode. However, this episode has nothing to do with meme stocks. It has to do with a brief overview of the market and what I look and think of it, and what will determine how I'm looking at the end of the second quarter, going into the third quarter. And I think that this is an important discussion to have at this very time, because we're coming into very pivotal moments, especially as this infrastructure bill is gaining even more steam. We are having particular problems in the economy that it's being told to us everything is going well and the numbers and data say otherwise. So as you can see from the title of the episode, it's called Stimulus 4 and 5. And I bring up the points of Stimulus 4 and 5 because you, who is listening to this, your love of free money will be your undoing. Most of us cannot say that we don't love free money. Who doesn't love free money? I personally am not the biggest proponent of free money. Not that I don't think stimulus checks are necessary. I think they're very necessary. Actually, I'm loving the fact that they allow us to see the transparency in the market for those who pay enough of attention. They can see it. But this particular case of Congress having a discussion and pushing for stimulus 4 and 5 to happen and it having support in the Senate is a big, big issue as to what to look for in the markets. From my January 20th episode saying I'm shorting the equity markets, I have to recalibrate that short. And that is why I'm bringing this up, as well as just the overview of where we are in the marketplace and the economy. So I like to always break these episodes down with what's the thesis. So the thesis is that I need to switch to a 70-30 weighted portfolio for long and short. So 70 long, 30 short moving forward. And this is the reason why. Now, can I say every name that I'm looking at? I mean, generally, we would be looking at the same names we've already been looking at on the long side. You know, particular tech names, chip names, oil and gas and commodity names, etc. But mostly, if you can understand the overview, it can at least help you pinpoint where to look, and this is how I'm looking at things. The primary thing I'm looking at is that we had 9.3 million unemployment last Friday. February had a 5.8 million unemployment. Coming into the year, especially when I first started doing the new episodes for the year, recovery is what everyone was thinking about. I had an extensive episode where I said, what do we project for 2021? And, you know, economists were projecting robust recovery. And what we're starting to see here is that it's fading. And that recovery isn't at the pace of what economists are looking at it to be or expecting it to be. And that highly has to do with that the majority of money that is in the economy is from government transfers of assets, which is purchasing of treasuries, stimulus checks, etc. That matters, especially as we come to a sunsetting of some of these things that improve people's personal income. For instance, we have evictions that are coming, the eviction moratorium expiring in June, and there's probably 6 million renters or more that are behind on rent. We can see mass vacancies in a lot of the major cities for office space. Even though people are saying they're coming back in New York, they said that it's some of the slowest. The idea is that, oh, we'll get everyone vaccinated and, you know, it'll be off and running. The numbers don't say that. That's the difference. The propaganda says that, but the numbers don't say that. This is the reason why Congress is saying, hey, we should do two more stimulus checks, $2,000 each. This is keeping people out of poverty, keeping families afloat. I can't say whether they're right or they're wrong, but I can say that where they're trying to add that is to Biden's
Biden's $1.8 billion package. And Biden's spokesperson, Jen Psaki, if I said that wrong, my apologies. She's saying that the president isn't completely against it. So the fact that the president isn't against it shows you that there's probably some, it has some leg room somewhere. And the fact that it has that leg room is what makes me say, okay, let me be cautious. When I further get into the episode, you'll see why that caution makes the most sense, right? But the biggest problem with it from a detraction standpoint is that that stimulus, those stimulus checks would have to be carved out and added on to the $1.8 trillion package. At least that's what I think, based off of how everything was structured. But perhaps there's some carve-outs where they can allocate money. But it's not like you're allocating a little bit of money. You'd be allocating a lot of money. However, you don't have much of a choice. And let's get into the nitty-gritty of that choice and why I say I had to recalibrate this portfolio. Well, it's becoming to be recalibrated. You see, free money and shortages lead to inflation. Ah, yes. Inflation diminishes the value of money. But the issue here is, without that free money, because it's all been government transfers of assets to keep people afloat, most people think, well, we can just have the inflation happen, we employ, and the wages rise to the inflation. It's unrealistic. The reason that that's unrealistic is that the employment is not rising to the inflation. And since that's not happening, and we're running into a situation where personal incomes are decreasing, if you don't have another stimulus bill, you turn the majority of the population into savers. The benefits are decreased, the income is decreased, and the tax returns are taking a long time while people have no job. They are going to become savers. That does not push more money back into corporations from spending and keep businesses afloat. Hence why we say we are in a very peculiar type of situation. And the concept is spend our way out of it, tax our way out of it. Tax the wealthy out of it, which the administration has been very aggressive about. Attacking safe havens in Puerto Rico, which I'm not fond of because that's the next place for me. And attacking safe havens in Florida. But at least Florida is very Republican, so there is some pushback there. Puerto Rico is not. So they're attacking that. Cryptocurrency is being attacked to be taxed. I'm neither a proponent or against. I'm neither for or against. It's just what the administration is doing to circumvent. I'm sorry, not to even just use the word circumvent, but to mitigate this concept of spending gone wild, and to also mitigate what foreign nations are feeling and other sovereign governments are feeling about being sold treasuries to balance up our balance sheet. So I get that. I get where the ideal is coming from. But putting that into consideration lets you really clearly understand that markets have to continue to run. And that these markets are going to continue to run because these stimulus packages have to happen. Now, I don't know if more small business funding is going to happen, but those guys are lobbying hard and they'll probably get something. But from the average consumer standpoint, that has to happen. You can force them to try to go back to work all you want. You're going to have to pay these people, or you're going to face a very strong slowdown. And why would you face that strong slowdown? It's as simple as this. Supply chains are coming back online with more robust demand to meet. That demand is there because of that excess money from transfer of assets from the government. you cut the programs and you slow things down, people become the savers. That happens, and personal incomes drop, those supplies become over-supplied now, with lack of demand, pulling down prices. I feel that's the most logical way things are going to happen if someone doesn't step in, and I would bet that they would step in. Reference Bill Ackman when he was thinking like, oh, they're not going to allow a 2008 situation to happen where they don't prop up the markets immediately with a lot of stimulus. Well, we're in that particular case still. In reality, there's probably about more than 10 to 12 million people unemployed. We're getting a report of what not, I said before, 9.3. But the reality is there's likely more. But let's not go off the propaganda of more. Let's say 9.3. Well, the only other scenario other than the savings scenario is, like I've been explaining, the government spending scenario. And that government scenario, the government spending scenario, is really the only other choice that you have that's viable. It would be too destructive to allow things to fall apart. So this idea of growth and hyperinflation, I think, is a fallacy. I don't think we get the hyperinflation. I think we, just continue to have more of the same situation that we're in right now, and a teetering and a fighting of the bond market and it inflating. As people would say, at some point the Fed has to raise the rates, and at some point they will. But we probably have another 2 years before they do that. You know, I really try to stay away from having the same conversation over and over again, but I do feel like I want to reference the Bureau of Economic Analysis to kind of give this a lot of credence. You see, disposable incomes are down 14.6%, meaning as stimuluses start to run out, they haven't paid them all out. There's still some coming out there. And these tax returns are taking longer to fund people with. You're seeing disposable income slowly dwindle. So you're going to see saving increase. And while you see that saving increase, you have this policy where a lot of unemployment benefits in some states are going to start to be cut. At least the supplemental unemployment are going to start to be cut in July into August. That's not a good thing, even though they're saying, oh, well, the people will find jobs. That's the hope. The reality is there's a lot of people out of business, so I don't know where they would exactly find jobs, especially if they're skilled. And we know that the biggest issue, as Jerome Powell was explaining, is the lower half of the labor force, the unskilled half of the labor force. They are going to find it hard to find employment. So with that being said, you just need to pay attention to these things. And that's what I've been focusing on very heavily. So I don't see myself staying too net short, even though things are probably are being wound up tight to kind of go one direction or the other. I just feel the direction it's going to go is more up, more, not even to say more growth, just a longer extension of the rally in stocks. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Trade Talk. I look forward to the next episode, because there's a lot of things that are offshoots of this topic that I want to delve into, but I just don't want to delve into them in one episode, especially with just me talking. I would say 70-30 allocated weighted averages on the portfolio, 70 on the long side, 30 on the short side. Pay a close attention to June going into July, the infrastructure bill, because I would assume that's where the administration would say that's where we're going to get them back to work spend this infrastructure dollars to get people working again, hire them into government programs, and that would probably be one of the better ways to do it. But I bet you don't pass that infrastructure bill without giving another round of stimulus, four or five checks, stimulus 4 and 5 in there. So I wholeheartedly expect to see this whole musical chairs charade continue. 2021, I don't expect much change. 2022, I expect a continuation. Then into the summer, we should start to finally see more of a shift. Credit contractions have not come yet because the government has not stopped putting the money out there yet. We won't start to see that unless we see that credit contraction. And this goes back to an old episode where I was speaking about, you know, this is a complex thing to juggle when the Trump administration had it. If you can continue to juggle this, yeah, you can make this work. If you cannot continue to juggle this situation, it's going to turn ugly. I think this turns ugly on the next administration. There's a lot of unforeseen things that are going to come from this. And in this year, they will not be able to taper as they say they want to taper. As Yellen has even said herself, they're going to let inflation run. I think they're finally happy that they figured out how to make it happen, and even though it might have been unintentional. But with letting inflation run, they being the administration, better not dare allow personal incomes to fall. Because it will get very ugly out here. And your 30% short side will become very lucrative. Again, ladies and gentlemen, LA Aco, checking out. Thank you. Take care.